Welcome to Conversations on Healthcare with Dr. Majid Siddiqui from Elmwood Immediate Care, 2949 Elmwood Avenue in Kenmore. Now, here's your host, Dr. Siddiqui.
Shalom, in Hebrew, the language of prophets Moses and Aaron to their followers, and Shalama, in Aramaic, the language of Jesus Christ, folks, which was not Greek or English, to his followers, and Assalamu alaikum, in Arabic, the language of the Prophet Muhammad followers. This greeting means all the same, peace be with you. All these monotheistic religion of one and only God should be family of one religion only from Middle East. Today I'm presenting you with medical facts on alcoholism and alcohol-related deaths. As usual, I take you back and forth in the history. Going back 5,000 and then 2,100 years ago, here are some Bible verses that relate to alcohol. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, and Titus chapter 2 and 3, chapter 2 and verse 3, condemn drunkenness and being enslaved to wine. Corinthians chapter 10, verse 21 states, you cannot drink the cup of Lord and the cup of demons too. Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 21 warns that heavy drinking and gluttony lead to poverty. Now coming somewhat ahead in time, that is 1,446 years ago, in the scriptures to all human race, the Quran prohibits the consumption of alcohol in several verses. Surah Al-Maidah, verse 90, this verse explicitly prohibits the consumption of alcohol. It also calls intoxicants and gambling abominations of Satan's handiwork. Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 219, this verse compares alcohol consumption to gambling, both of which are sinful because people can go overboard. Lastly, Quran, chapter 4, verse 43, this verse warns Muslims not to attend prayers while intoxicated. Alcohol is a leading preventable cause of death in this nation of mine, United States of America. Research proven that most of the times drinking alcohol can be a response to other problems in your life, including money worries or mental health problems. Getting help with other issues may make it easier to cut down or stop drinking. Leading countries with the highest rates of alcohol addiction among their males and female population are Russia and Australia. Both of these nations have highest prevalence of alcohol dependence overall, with 2.61% of their population and 2.58% respectively of these countries' population, folks, are addicted to alcohol, which is a very high number. Folks, according to the World Health Organization, the top countries in the world with high rate of alcohol use disorder in male population, with the myth attached to it that these are macho men displaying an overly confident, tough, and fierce facade. These countries are Russia. 16.29% of Russian male population. Then comes Hungary. 15.29% of their male population. Lithuania. 13.35%. South Korea, 13.1%. Latvia, 11.54%. Belarus, 11.43%. of males all addicted to alcohol. Estonia, 11.09%. Colombia, 10.33%. Thailand, 10.18%. Russia and Hungary have the highest rate of alcohol consumption in the male category. And Thailand has the lowest, still rating 10.18%, folks, which is an extremely high number. Folks dealing with serious issues with such high proportion involved with alcohol use disorder is quite serious indeed. Therefore, I feel it necessary. I need to start my show with humor and keep bringing on humor in between to keep the temperature down. A patient of mine was running late for the appointment with me due to alcohol-related medical problems. On arrival, he reported, "Dr. Siddiqui, I got stopped for speeding by a woman police officer. I almost talked my way out of it by telling her she looked stunningly beautiful. Then I messed it up as usual, Dr. Siddiqui, by saying, 'And that's not even the drink talking.'" These folks who often tell me that Dr. Siddiqui, sobriety is not in my vocabulary. I can't say no to vodka as it is 40% stronger than I. You should understand me, my reply to them mostly is, okay, let me present you with medical facts. Alcohol consumption can have many negative effects to start with on a man's sexual performance, on self-claimed macho men with medical facts such as alcohol causing erectile dysfunction. Alcohol can make it difficult to get and maintain an erection. Heavy drinking over a long period of time can lead to long-term impotence, folks. Delayed orgasm. Alcohol can reduce sexual sensitivity and delay or prevent orgasm. Reduced sexual desire is another factor. Premature ejaculation can be due to alcohol use. Risky sexual behavior. Alcohol can increase the likelihood of engaging in unprotected sex, which lead to unintended pregnancy and the transmission of sexually transmitted infection. Moreover, alcohol is responsible for infertility. Alcohol can impact testicular function and the production of male hormones, which can lead to infertility. The other sexual dysfunction, folks, can be a variety of other sexual dysfunctions, including unsatisfying orgasm. Alcohol can also impact secondary sexual characteristics, such as causing hair loss, and can lead to abnormal breast tissue growth, gynecomastia, that is the development of female-like breast in males. This destroys so-called macho appearance delusion, folks. The severity of alcohol dependence and the amount of alcohol consumed per day and the duration of problem drinking are all positively associated with sexual dysfunction. Alcohol reduces the production of testosterone, the male hormone. Let's have some more humor. One of my patients, a wife, decided she would leave her drunken husband, who happened to be my patient as well. But I persuaded her to give him one more chance. Instead of nagging him, she was advised by me to treat him nicely. Maybe he'll feel so ashamed, he will stop drinking so heavily. So the next night when he staggered home, she did not rant as usual. She made him a cup of tea, warmed his slippers, loosened his collar and tie, and stroked his head.
"Shall we go to bed now?" she suggested.
"Might as well," he replied. "If I go home, there'll only be row." Here is another one of, based on my experience. One of the female patients who hates to drink water, upon my advice to drink water, to keep her kidneys working, she responded to me,
"Dr. Siddiqui, I can only love water if it is frozen into cubes surrounded by vodka."
A cop patient of mine told me, "I was police officer for 30 years, and the only thing worse than drunk man is a drunk woman, Doc." Alcohol consumption can have a number of negative effects on a woman's sexual performance too, folks. I narrated the male side. Decreased sexual responsiveness, even moderate alcohol consumption can decrease the sexual responsiveness in the females. Reduced vaginal lubrication is another problem. Difficulty reaching orgasm is much more higher. Dyspareunia, that is chronic alcohol use, can lead to painful sexual intercourse and sexual dysfunction. Alcohol consumption can increase the odds of sexual dysfunction. Fertility issues, like in males, heavy drinking over a long period of time can cause women to stop ovulating. Alcohol is a central nervous system depressant that can slow down brain function, breathing, and also slow down blood flow. These effects can reduce the sexual stimulation and make it harder to establish consent. Now, speaking of all this, let me bring some more humor, folks. One of my male patients who comes to me for follow-up of alcoholic liver cirrhosis yelled at me, "Dr. Siddiqui, I told myself many times that I must stop drinking alcohol, just like you give sermons to me. But I'm not about to listen to a drunk that talks to himself." If something bad happens, people drink alcohol in an attempt to forget. If something good happens, people drink alcohol in order to celebrate. If nothing happens, people drink for something to happen. Now, let me talk on alcohol-related liver disease. Alcohol-related liver disease refers to liver damage caused by prolonged alcohol intake. There are several stages of severity and a range of associated symptoms. I was told by my patients who drink alcohol that, "I'm fine, Dr. Siddiqui, I do not feel harmed at all." My response to them is that alcohol-related liver disease doesn't usually cause any symptoms until the liver has been severely damaged. When this happens, symptoms can include feeling sick, weight loss, loss of appetite, yellowing of the eyes and skin, that is jaundice, swelling in the ankles and abdomen due to heart failure, confusion or drowsiness, vomiting blood or passing blood in your stool. This means alcohol-related liver disease is frequently diagnosed during tests for other condition or at a stage of advanced liver damage that the folks come to know about the problem that they instigated in the body. Alcohol in the liver, with exception of the brain, the liver is the most complex organ in the body, folks. It functions to include filtering toxins from the blood, aiding digestion of food, regulating blood sugar, cholesterol levels, helping fight infection and disease. The liver is very resilient and capable of regenerating itself. Each time your liver filters alcohol, some of the liver cells die. Yes, folks, each time you drink alcohol, some of your liver cell dies. This is a medical fact. The liver can develop new cells, but prolonged alcohol use over many years can reduce the ability to regenerate. This can result in serious and permanent damage to your liver. Folks, the stages of alcohol-related liver diseases are three, although there is often an overlap between each of these stages. First come alcoholic fatty liver disease, drinking a large amount of alcohol, even for just a few days, can lead to buildup of fats in the liver. This is called alcoholic fatty liver disease, and is the first stage of alcohol-related liver disease. Fatty liver disease rarely causes any symptoms, but is an important warning to sign that you are drinking at a harmful level. Fatty liver disease is reversible if you stop drinking alcohol for 2 weeks. Your liver should return to normal. Now, let's proceed to the next stage, alcoholic hepatitis. Alcoholic hepatitis, which is unrelated to infectious hepatitis, is potentially serious condition, folks, that can be caused by alcohol use over a longer period. When this develops, it may be the first time a person is aware there's damaging the liver through alcohol. Less commonly, alcohol hepatitis can occur if you drink large amount of alcohol in a short period of time, which is called binge drinking. The liver damage associated with mild alcoholic hepatitis is usually reversible if you stop drinking permanently. Severe alcoholic hepatitis, however, is a serious and life-threatening illness. Many people die from this condition each year, and some people only find out that they have liver damage when their condition reaches the second stage due to yellow appearance like those cartoon figures, Simpsons. Next stage is the end stage, folks. Cirrhosis of liver is a stage of alcohol-related liver disease where the liver has become significantly scarred. Even at this stage, there may not be any obvious symptoms. It's not reversible, but stopping drinking alcohol immediately totally may prevent further damage and can increase somewhat life expectancy. A person who has alcohol-related cirrhosis and doesn't stop drinking has less than 50% chance of living for 5 more years. How alcohol-related liver disease is treated is often props up as the next question. There's currently no specific medical treatment for alcohol-related liver disease. The main treatment is to stop drinking for the rest of your life. This reduces the risk of further damage to your liver and gives the best chance of recovering. If a person is dependent on alcohol, stopping drinking can be very difficult due to alcohol causes physiological dependence too, folks. However, support, advice, and medical treatment may be available through local alcohol support services. A liver transplant is required in severe cases where liver has stopped functioning and doesn't improve when you stop drinking alcohol. You'll only be considered for a liver transplant if you have developed complications of cirrhosis. That is the end stage. Despite having stopped drinking, all liver transplant units require a person not to drink alcohol while waiting for the transplant itself, which may take years, and for the rest of their life once transplant is done. They have to sign a mandatory contract. Often asked of me, so what are the further complications, Dr. Siddiqui? Death rates linked to alcohol-related liver disease have risen considerably over the last few decades in our nation. Alcohol is now one of the most common causes of death in the Western world, along with smoking and high blood pressure, folks. It costs the taxpayers millions of dollars in health budget every year. Immediate life-threatening complications of alcohol-related liver disease include internal, that is, variceal bleeding in the gut, buildup of toxins in the brain, which is called encephalopathy, fluid accumulation in the abdomen, huge pot bellies with associated kidney failure. And then comes the liver cancer. Dr. Siddiqui, how do I prevent alcohol-related liver disease? I was asked in commanding way by many of the folks who drink alcohol. My response is, most effective way to prevent alcohol-related liver disease is stop drinking alcohol. Even if you have been a drinker for many years, reducing or stopping your alcohol intake will have important short and long-term benefits for your liver and overall health. Now let me bring in some more humor as I'm talking so much about this common problem. One of my young women patient of mine turned out to be pregnant by pregnancy test performed by my clinic nurse as a routine test on all reproducible age females we do. With a history of alcohol dependence disorder, she was more of a problematic scene. On informing her, she told me,
"Dr. Siddiqui, I'm not an alcoholic. Alcoholics go to meeting. When I'm drunk, I go to rave parties. I may agree with you here, Dr. Siddiqui, but alcohol is only bad for my legs."
I asked her, "Do they swell? A sign of water retention due to cardiac failure?" Her reply was,
"No, they spread at the slightest male encouragement, Dr. Siddiqui."
You're listening to Conversations on Healthcare with Dr. Majid Siddiqui from Elmwood Immediate Care, 2949 Elmwood Avenue in Kenmore. Call 716-800-3040. Hometown WLVL, 1340 AM.
For all your healthcare needs, trust Elmwood Immediate Care and Family Physicians. With 37 years of experience, Dr. Majid Siddiqui cares for patients of all ages, from pediatrics to geriatrics. You'll be seen by medical doctors with on-site state-of-the-art machinery for emergency or routine care. Located at 2949 Elmwood across from Kenmore Mercy, walk-ins are welcome, most insurance accepted. Payment options are available. Call 716-800-3040 for Elmwood Immediate Care and Family Physicians.
Let's get back to Conversations on Healthcare with Dr. Majid Siddiqui from Elmwood Immediate Care in Kenmore. Once again, Dr. Siddiqui.
Here I should talk about alcohol and pregnancy. There's no known safe limit of drinking during pregnancy. Some people will tell you that having the odd drink when you are pregnant is okay. I say to them, that's the safest option is to stop drinking when you're trying to get pregnant or as soon as you know you are pregnant. You must stop drinking. No ifs and buts. On this medical fact, how alcohol can harm my baby, argued this patient of mine. My response was, your baby is developing all the way throughout your pregnancy. Alcohol can be harmful at any stage. Drinking alcohol damages your baby's developing cells, which can affect how their brain and organs develop, how they look, makes it more likely that you'll have a miscarriage, ma'am, or your baby will be born early, premature, or underweight, can cause fetal alcohol spectrum disorder. Even small amounts of alcohol can cross over from your body through placenta into your baby. The exact level of alcohol exposure can lead to harm, cannot be standardized due to different rate of alcohol metabolism in each individual and with certainty. But the fact is, the more you drink, the greater possible harm to the baby. Drinking a lot in a single occasion, sometimes called binge drinking, is especially harmful. Fetal alcohol spectrum disorder. If you drink while pregnant, your baby could develop fetal alcohol spectrum disorder, which is a disastrous thing, ma'am. This is a term used to describe a range of alcohol-related birth defects. About 3 in every 100 children in the Western world and young people, that is 3%, say in United States of America, that is staggering. 2 to 3 million American kids have fetal alcohol spectrum disorder, but it's which is preventable by avoiding alcohol when at least you're pregnant or planning pregnancy. Fetal alcohol spectrum disorder may not always be detected at birth, but can cause problems later in life, including problems with hyperactivity, impulsivity, that is loss of impulse control, which is terribly important in one's life, and decrease attention span. Learning and behavioral difficulties in the school and later on in the college, experiencing difficulty in social interaction, personal care, making sense of the world and staying safe is all a problem. Sensory difficulties such as being sensitive to and distressed by certain patterns of light, sound, or even touch. Vulnerability to victimization and bullying in the school, which is so very common in United States of America, in every state schools. Many of these children attempt suicide and even complete suicide in this developed nation of ours. Now, the time to stop drinking, my dear women folks, is now. Because lots of pregnancy aren't planned, right? Folks, you might not have known you were pregnant for 6 to 8 weeks and may have drunk alcohol in that time. Based on my medical experience of over 3 decades, ladies, the first and the most important thing you can do now is to stop drinking alcohol completely. When you go to your first antenatal appointment, what do we ask you first? Whether you drink alcohol? If so, how much? Be honest if you have been drinking during pregnancy when you were not even aware, say, 1.5 to 2 months ago. You need to speak safely and openly because of risk to the fetus. Stopping drinking when pregnant, for lots of women, stopping drinking is the main advice that I give. Sometimes harder than they thought. The social pressure to have a drink can be huge in our culture and can make it harder to say no. Men, support your partner, please. Dads and the partners can support a healthy alcohol-free pregnancy by not drinking alcohol around their partner. Your next generation, the baby, is prone for huge problem in his or her life, folks. Be serious. I suggest that trying activities that don't involve alcohol. You could go swimming or go for a walk. Trying non-alcoholic alternatives such as mocktails, smoothies, flavored and fizzy water. Here's some more humor on my advice based on my personal experiences, folks, as I get every time very serious when it comes to such issues. One young woman patient of mine complained to me,
"Dr. Siddiq, even for my drinking, you say to me that you will be an alcoholic. But when I drink Fanta, you never told me that I am fantastic. I'm offended. Maybe I being on Fanta on your advice and I gained the weight."
It's time I place a song. And this, to me, is the cry of the unborn fetus to the mom.
Give me time to realize my cry. Let me love and steal.
Do you really want to make me cry?
words of you I have spoken. I could waste a thousand years wrapped in sorrow. Words I've spoken, come inside and catch my tears. You've been talking, but believe me, if it's true, you do not know.
Repeat, folks, if something bad happens, people drink alcohol in an attempt to forget. If something good happens, people drink alcohol to celebrate. Folks, one must understand the alcohol use disorder, as alcohol is so very well accepted socially in our culture for these reasons. Alcohol use disorder is a medical condition characterized by an impaired ability to stop or control alcohol use despite adverse social, occupational, or health consequences. Because it has got physiological dependence, you crave for it. It encompasses the conditions that some people refer to as alcohol abuse, alcohol dependence, alcohol addiction, and the colloquial term alcoholism. This is considered a brain disorder. Alcohol use disorder can be mild, moderate, or severe. Lasting changes in the brain caused by alcohol misuse perpetuate alcohol use disorder and make individuals vulnerable to relapse. The good news is that no matter how severe the problem may seem, evidence-based treatment with behavioral therapies, mutual support groups, and or medications can help people with alcohol use disorder achieve and maintain recovery. According to the 2023, that's last year, National Survey on Drug Use and Health, 28.1 million adults ages 18 and older, that is 10.9% in this age group, had alcohol use disorder in the past year itself. Among youth, an estimated 750,000 adolescents ages 12 to 17, that is 2.9% of this age group, has alcohol use disorder during the last year itself. What increases the risk for alcohol use disorder, folks, is also a frequently asked question of me when I teach my medical students of my university. A person's risk for developing alcohol use disorder depends in part on how much, how often, and how quickly they consume alcohol. Over time increases the risk of alcohol use disorder. Alcohol misuse includes binge drinking and heavy alcohol use. Other factors also increase the risk of alcohol use disorder, such as drinking at an early age. A recent national survey found that among people ages 26 and older, those who began drinking before age 15 were more than three times as likely to report having alcohol use disorder in the past year as those who waited until 21 or later to begin drinking. The risk for females in this group is higher than the males. Alcohol penetrates into your genes. Genetics and family history of alcohol problems play a huge role with hereditability. One of my young patients told me I would have preferred cash as inheritance, Dr. Siddiqui, rather than this fetal alcohol syndrome that you are treating me of. That was a very heart-wrenching situation for this young man to go through, and he comes to me for treatment. Yes, alcohol use can penetrate to make genetic changes at the molecular levels, accounting for approximately 60%. However, like other chronic health conditions, alcohol use disorder risk is influenced by interplay between a person's genes and their environment. Parents' drinking patterns may also influence the likelihood that a child will one day develop alcohol use disorder as it runs into generations. Mental health conditions and a history of trauma, a wide range of psychiatric conditions including depression, post-traumatic stress disorder, and attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, ADHD, are comorbid with alcohol use disorder and are associated with increased risk of alcohol use. People with history of childhood trauma are also vulnerable to alcohol use disorder. Now, let me bring in some more humor that I experienced in my medical practice of over 3 decades. One of my older male patients in commanding voice told me, "Dr. Siddiqui, rubbing alcohol treats outside wounds. Drinking alcohol treats inside wound. Alcohol is not my vocabulary. However, I looked it up for what you say in my Whiskeypedia and found that if you drink too much, it is tequila, yeah?"
You're listening to Conversations on Healthcare with Dr. Majid Siddiqui from Elmwood Immediate Care, 2949 Elmwood Avenue in Kenmore. Call 716-800-3040. Hometown WLVL, 1340 AM.
For all your healthcare needs, trust Elmwood Immediate Care and Family Physicians. With 37 years of experience, Dr. Majid Siddiqui cares for patients of all ages, from pediatrics to geriatrics. You'll be seen by medical doctors with on-site state-of-the-art machinery for emergency or routine care. Located at 2949 Elmwood across from Kenmore Mercy, walk-ins are welcome, most insurance accepted. Payment options are available. Call 716-800-3040 for Elmwood Immediate Care and Family Physicians.
Let's get back to Conversations on Healthcare with Dr. Majid Siddiqui from Elmwood Immediate Care in Kenmore. Once again, Dr. Siddiqui.
Folks, I must emphasize the symptoms of alcohol use disorder. Healthcare professionals use a criteria from Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders, 5th edition, DSM-5, to assess whether a person has alcohol use disorder or not, and to determine the severity. If the disorder is present, severity is based on the number of criteria a person meets based on the symptoms. Mild category, 2 to 3 criteria. Moderate category, 4 to 5 criteria. Or severe category is 6 or more criteria. This is how we categorize, by asking questions and asking yes or no. And that gives yes a 1 mark. And these are the questions. Have you had times when you ended up drinking more or longer than you intended? Next question. Have you more than once wanted to cut down or stop drinking or tried to but couldn't? That follows with another question. Have you spent a lot of time drinking, being sick from drinking or getting over other after effects? Have you wanted to drink so badly you couldn't think of anything else? We grill. Have you found that drinking or being sick from drinking often interfered with taking care of your home or family or caused job troubles or school problems? Have you continued to drink even though it was causing trouble with your family or friends? Many get caught here. Have you given up or cut back on activities you found important, interesting, or pleasurable so you could drink? Well, more than average get caught. Have you more than once gotten into situation while or after drinking that increased your chances of getting hurt, such as driving, swimming, using machinery, walking in a dangerous area, or unsafe sexual behavior? Have you continued to drink even though it was making you feel depressed or anxious or adding another health problem or after having had alcohol-related memory blackout? We continue to grill. Have you had to drink much more than you once did to get the effect you want or found that your usual number of drinks had much less effect than before? Very, very many people get caught here because it's a physiologically depending drug. Have you found that when the effects of alcohol were wearing off, you had withdrawal symptoms such as trouble sleeping, shakiness, restlessness, nausea, sweating, a racing heart, dysphoria, that is feeling uneasy or unhappy, malaise, general sense of being unwell, feeling low, or a seizure, or sense things that were not there? This is the last irreversible category. Any of these symptoms with yes is the cause for concern. The more symptoms, the more urgent the need for change. Now, let me play another song.
Cause I didn't wanna deal with myself tonight. My thoughts get drowned until I feel alright. I keep drinking till I'm someone I don't recognize. I got wasted cause I didn't wanna deal with myself tonight. My thoughts get drowned until I feel alright. I keep drinking till I'm someone I don't recognize. I got wasted. Repeat the cycle every day, I gotta start with a drink. My life been getting sorta crazy and I don't wanna think. I look myself right in the mirror and I don't even blink. Then I get angry, take the rest and pour it right in the sink. I know where this road goes, alcohol ain't my friend, but I keep drinking cause these demons roam and follow me around everywhere I go. It clouds my mind and soul, it turns my heart cold. But I keep drinking cause it makes me feel like I'm not alone. I'm having problems, my pride won't let me reach out. Looking at this bottle, having nothing but doubt. Don't wanna drink, but it keeps coming around and around and around. I got wasted, cause I didn't wanna deal with myself tonight. My thoughts get drowned until I feel alright. I keep drinking till I'm someone I don't recognize. I got wasted cause I didn't wanna deal with myself tonight. My thoughts get drowned until I feel alright. I keep drinking till I'm someone I don't recognize. I got wasted. I know I need to quit. I gotta do better. Example to these kids, cause they watch you when I'm there. But I'm scared, cause I've been chasing the man that I am. When I start to drink, he's cocky, confident, and he don't give a damn what you think. This world is beating me down and it's pushed me right to the brink. I take a shot every time because man, it helps me escape. I'm taking care of these people, but no one takes care of me. I wanna talk to somebody, but I feel no one relates. I need better now. I think I've lost my way. I'm having battles with faith. It's painted right on my face. I hope better times are coming. No chase, but I'm still running. I gotta take control, and I won't stop for nothing. Dear God, this is my test. Promise that I do my best. Just help me with this pain. I feel and pressure that is on my chest. I got wasted cause I didn't wanna deal with myself tonight. My thoughts get drowned until I feel alright. I keep drinking till I'm someone I don't recognize. I got wasted cause I didn't wanna deal with myself tonight. My thoughts get drowned until I feel alright. I keep drinking.
Folks, here's some more humor on the denial aspect of these folks. One of my patients walked into my clinic and reported that, "I do not drink alcohol. I drink distilled spirits." So it is not what my discharge summary from rehabilitation hospital informs you, Dr. Siddiqui. I drink spirits, and drinking spirits makes me a spiritual person, not an alcoholic. I was often told by him, spirits may not solve any of my problems, but it's worth a shot. You can be spiritual too, Dr. Siddiqui. Then it was his time to grill me further, asking me, what are the types of treatment for spirits use disorder? My response to the self-declared priest inviting me to be spiritual, who said, alcohol may be man's worst enemy, but the Bible says, love your enemy. My response humbly to this man asking me to be spiritual was, one size does not fit all, and the treatment approach that may work for one person may not work for another. Treatment can be outpatient and or inpatient and be provided by specialty programs, therapists, and healthcare providers. There are medications. Three medications are currently approved by the United States Food and Drug Administration to help people stop or reduce their drinking and prevent a return to drinking. Naltrexone, oral or long-acting injectable, is very useful. Acamprosate and disulfiram. All these medications are non-addictive, and they may be used alone or combined with behavioral treatments or mutual support groups. Behavioral treatments, folks, is very useful. Also known as alcohol counseling or talk therapy, and provided by licensed therapists, are aimed at changing drinking behavior. Examples of behavioral treatment are brief interventions and reinforcement approaches, treatments that build motivation and teach skills for coping and preventing a return to drinking, and mindfulness based on therapies. There are mutual support groups available that provide peer support for stopping or reducing drinking. Group meetings are available in most communities at low or no cost and at convenient times and in convenient locations, including an increasing presence online. This means they can be especially helpful to individuals at risk for relapse to drinking. Combined with medications and behavioral treatment provided by healthcare professionals, mutual support groups can offer a valuable added layer of support. Please note, folks, people with severe alcohol use disorder may need medical help to avoid alcohol withdrawal if they decide to stop drinking. Alcohol withdrawal is a potentially life-threatening process that can occur when someone who has been drinking heavily for a prolonged period of time suddenly stop drinking. Doctors can prescribe medication to address these symptoms and make the process safer and less distressing. Now, I'm grilled also by my medical students. They frequently ask me, can people with alcohol use disorder recover, Dr. Siddiqui? My response, many people with alcohol use disorder do recover, but setbacks are common among people in treatment. Seeking professional help early can prevent a return to drinking. Behavioral therapies can help people to develop skills to avoid and overcome triggers such as stress that might lead to drinking. Medications can also help deter drinking during times when individuals may be at greater risk of a return to drinking. Example, divorce, death of a family member. Folks, alcohol increases your risk developing esophageal cancer as well. There's cancer of the gullet. Other potential complications are alcohol-induced cardiomyopathy, alcohol-induced hepatitis. I have said earlier about it. Alcohol poisoning, cerebellar degeneration is a very dangerous situation. Cirrhosis of the liver, I've already gone through. Delirium tremens. Alcohol-induced cardiomyopathy is a condition where your heart changes shape because of long-term alcohol use. The changes to your heart shape causes long-term damage, leading to heart failure and severe problems. Abstaining from alcohol may help some people recover, but others will need medication or even surgery. That is cardiac transplant, another huge problem. So what is alcohol-induced cardiomyopathy, asked one of my medical students. Alcohol-induced cardiomyopathy is a condition where consuming too much alcohol damages your heart. This damage happens because parts of your heart stretch and enlarge. That weakens your heart muscle, keeping it from pumping as well as it should. Over time, this means your heart can't pump blood as effectively, which reduces your body available oxygen supply. Alcohol-induced cardiomyopathy can affect anyone who consumes alcohol, even those who don't have alcohol use disorder. However, it is more likely to happen in people with alcohol use disorder or who have genetic mutation that cause them to process alcohol more slowly. One of my medical students asked me, how common is this condition? Well, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, CDC, defines alcohol use, heavy alcohol use, also known as heavy drinking, as more than 8 drinks per week for women and more than 15 drinks per week for men. One drink is equal to 14 grams of pure alcohol, which can take many different forms because some forms have higher concentration of alcohol than the others. Next question props up. How does this condition affect my body? Questioned one of the alcohol use disorder patients. Having a big heart logically should be strong, not sick, Dr. Siddiqui, he emphasized. My response is alcohol-related cardiomyopathy is a type of dilated cardiomyopathy, which is when your heart shape changes because its muscles are stretching too much. As the muscles stretch more and more, they also weaken. The effect is much like how a rubber band or spring weakens when stretched too much. The muscles that control the lower chambers of your heart, the left and the right ventricle, are especially prone to this kind of stretching. These chambers are important as do the majority of the work of the heart, with the right ventricle pumping blood to your lungs and the left ventricle pumping blood to your entire body. Weakening in the muscles around the ventricles mean they can't pump as hard, which negatively affects your entire body. Big heart due to muscle hypertrophy is not at all good, folks, as my patient was emphasizing, I've got a big heart. Changes in your heart shape can also disrupt the organ's electrical system. An electrical current travels through your entire heart with every heartbeat, causing each part of your heart to squeeze in a specific sequence. Your heart shape is a part of how that timing works. When parts of your heart stretch, it can disrupt that timing. If it takes too long, even by tiny fraction of a second, that delay can cause your heart to beat out of dyssynchrony. Similarly, alcohol can have a toxic effect on your heart and cause scar tissue to form. That scar tissue can also cause potentially life-threatening arrhythmias, irregular heart rhythms that can lead to heart stopping. That's cardiac arrest, folks. While the long-term effects of alcohol-induced cardiomyopathy tend to get the most attention, there's also a potential for acute short-term problems, folks, too. An example to this condition is sometimes known as holiday heart syndrome. Drinking a large amount of alcohol in a short period can also have toxic effects on your heart muscle. This can cause disruption in your heart rhythm called fibrillation. This is when the chambers of your heart try to beat so quickly that they only twitch or quicker. When the chambers of your heart do this, they don't pump effectively. This happens in one or two ways. One is atrial fibrillation. The other is ventricular fibrillation. Both these fibrillations are dangerous. But the worst is ventricular fibrillation, which can stop your heart, leading to cardiac arrest and requiring immediate CPR. Management and treatment of these conditions is heart transplant, folks, which is very, very difficult situation. And I told you the restrictions of these kind of transplants. The last, but not the least, and I should not forget delirium tremens. is cerebellar degeneration. It is a disorder that affects nerves in the back of your brain. It can lead to balance issues or difficulty with speech and eyesight. Cerebellar degeneration can be the result of several health conditions like alcohol use disorder or cancer. And cerebellar degeneration is very common in alcohol use disorder. It is also seen in nutritional deficiency, hereditary problems, paraneoplastic syndrome. Less than 1% of people with cancer develop paraneoplastic cerebellar degeneration, but alcohol-related cerebellar degeneration is very common. 12 to 27% of people with alcohol use disorder have some level of cerebellar degeneration. Now, adding up, I'm happy that Mr. Frank Miller is with me. He's going to adjust. So cerebellar degeneration we talk about, but delirium tremens is the last I must talk. It's most severe form of alcohol withdrawal. The condition can sometimes be life-threatening. DTs is possible when someone with alcohol use disorder, especially with moderate or some of them mild or severe alcohol use disorder, suddenly stop drinking. Now, let me give you a simple simile. Long-term heavy alcohol use sets up a tug-of-war-like effect in your body. Alcohol is on one side, showing slowing down of central nervous system activity. Your CNS control your body's automatic processes like breathing and heart rate. Alcohol is a depressant, so it slows down this activity. Your CNS on the other side of the rope is pulling back by increasing its own activity to keep things running. Over time, your CNS adjusts and sees that increased activity level as it is new normal. If you suddenly stop drinking, it's like the alcohol side letting you go off the rope. Suddenly, your CNS doesn't have to pull back against the alcohol to keep activity at a proper level. But your CNS can't bring its activity level down quickly. That means your CNS is much more active than needed, to the point that it is negatively affects automatic body processes. This causes delirium tremens, which is a medical emergency. I am so grateful that Mr. Frank Miller is back, so I can't play the third song as usual, but I must play my signature tune and say thanks for listening to my show in this great nation of mine, United States of America. But I'm also heard in United Kingdom, Germany, Switzerland, Australia, and India as I get reports on WhatsApp messages, and I feel very elated on this WLVL.com, which can be heard anywhere in the world. My next show is on December 16, the last show of mine of 2024. Time is flying away, folks.
You've been listening to Conversations on Healthcare with Dr. Majid Siddiqui from Elmwood Immediate Care, 2949 Elmwood Avenue in Kenmore. Call 716-800-3040. Hometown WLVL, 1340 AM.